Thank you very much. Beautiful, beautiful hymn. Lovely. Mercy-filled eyes. Have you got mercy-filled eyes? Let's talk about it. John chapter 17 and verse 18. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. There are a lot of Christians in our culture, in our society, who are, for some reason, leaving the world, not living in the world. And then there's a verse in John chapter 20 and verse 21 that is a parallel verse. John 20, 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I think these two verses, though separated by a few chapters, need to be related. He says, first of all, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. We think of his happy condition, situation, fellowship with you as his Father and the Holy Spirit, with the triune God from eternity past, if such there be, in happy fellowship. We think, as we contemplate this verse, when the fullness of time was come, you sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What an event that must have been, what misunderstanding among the angels, what difficulty to comprehend how the perfect eternal Son should be sent into the world. And though our Lord Jesus Christ knew, and though the Holy Spirit knew, and you as Father, the source of all that would happen, knew full well why he was going. We know that the angels had no understanding, and certainly the men on this earth had no consciousness of why he was coming. But we thank you that he came, that he came of his own volition, though he was sent by you. And we thank you again that he reviewed so many times in his life the reason why he came and what was going to happen, that he would be handed over to the chief priests and scribes and the Gentiles and be killed and be raised again the third day. Father, you have unveiled to us through your word the greatness of the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given to us a full exposition of all the doctrines that we need to know of what happened at the cross. You have given to us a full revelation of all we need to know of the practical aspects of that experience so many years ago. We dwell our minds upon those things. We soak our souls. We marinate our minds in these week after week as we gather for the Lord's Supper. And we thank you that your word and prayer and songs and hymns turn us back to the reason why he came. That he came that we might have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That he might be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That you were in Christ reconciling the world unto yourself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And we thank you again this morning that you have sent us into the world as ambassadors with a message of reconciliation. And may we be faithful this morning as we reassess our responsibility and our calling, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what he did, to see through his merciful eyes, to see the world as you see the world. And may our eyes be able to perceive the calling that you have on our lives. We give you thanks and bless your name this morning through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And I can't help but think that as we see these two verses, and particularly extract this one in verse 18, that the Lord Jesus Christ was sending the believers into the world for a specific purpose. We have identified three purposes of the church. One is worship, the second one is fellowship, and the third one is evangelism. And those are the three in the importance of order. The Lord created the church through his death and resurrection in order that we might offer worship. The Father seeks such to worship him. And the Lord Jesus Christ accepts and wants our worship. That is to express the worth, the value, the appreciation for who he is and for what he stands for in the world. The second reason we have the church and the purpose of the church is fellowship. That is like your oyster roast. I suppose we think of it best as sharing a meal, having a shared meal. But there's much more than that. There is sharing our gifts and our abilities and our talents and our time and our efforts and our money with each other to understand the gifts that we have and how they are needed in the local church. And so worship and fellowship are two important aspects, but then evangelism. And I want this morning to look at this verse and say that we should see our calling. What is our calling? Our calling is also evangelism. I think that the local church has lost the vision, missed the calling of sharing the gospel with somebody. In our Monday night Bible study, which I teach when I'm in town, we had a challenge for evangelism and gave each person in the class a responsibility in the next week to share the gospel with somebody, to do it in some context, in some way. And we prayed and they prayed that God would bring somebody into their lives. And the war stories, as I call them, the war stories of what God did to bring somebody into their lives, somebody whom they had never met, but who needed something, and to share the gospel with them. And I want to review with you some of the kinds of people that the Lord Jesus Christ met. Some were divine appointments that are clearly indicated by the woman at Samaria. Others were encounters that came as he was going someplace else. And each one of them present to us a part of our society who need the gospel. When I was in South Africa a while ago, we had a group of studies on sharing the gospel over the course of a number of months. And one of the responsibilities for everyone in the 30 or 40 that were in the seminar was to memorize a Bible verse that related to sharing the gospel. And after a couple of weeks, I went around the room to each one, and I said, will you give a memory verse that you've learned since we began this series of studies on sharing the gospel? And the first person, and the second person, and the third person. And then I came to an older man, and he said to me, I didn't do it, just like that. And I said, but that was an assignment. He said, I didn't do it. So the next week we did the same thing, and I started the other way around and came over to this man, and I said, do you have a memory verse for today? He said, I didn't do it. And I said, brother, it was an assignment. Actually, he was an elder in the assembly. Everybody left, and he was there, and I was there. And he broke down in tears. And he said, brother, he said, I can't remember when the last time I memorized a Bible verse. And I had said to him, and I had said to others, we're not growing as believers if we're not memorizing verses. That there needs to be some kind of a program. Memorize the book of Philippians, or memorize a key verse every day, or once a week, or something like that. And with tears in his eyes, he said, brother, he said, it's been a dry dry valley that I've been walking through. And I said, well, I said, if you begin to memorize scripture, you'll find the rivers of living water flowing in you and through you, and it will give you confidence in preparing the scriptures. And so it's instructive for us that in sharing the gospel, we need to be conscious of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, we are told, guided the Lord Jesus Christ. He will guide you into all truth. And as we accept the responsibility of talking to somebody about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can believe that the Spirit of God is going to guide us into all truth, into the scriptures which are filling our reservoir so that we have something to say. It's true in our worship. It's true in our fellowship, but it's particularly true in the area of evangelism. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he will guide people into our lives. It means that morning by morning I present myself to God and say, God, my hands are your hands today. My feet are your feet. And as the song says, I want the mercy-filled eyes of Christ to shine through my head, through my eyes. And as we give ourselves and see the world through the Lord Jesus Christ's eyes, we'll find ourselves going to the same place. It's instructive for us that when the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that were lost, he says it to one person. But when he says that he came to save that which is lost and left out the word seek, he was saying it to somebody else. When he said the Son of Man came to save that which was lost, he was speaking to children. But when he said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, he was speaking to a man, a mature man. And it would seem from that difference in those two statements that it is more difficult for somebody to trust Christ the older they get. And to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We are to be the hands which present the hands of the Lord Jesus. Our feet are to be the feet that walk in his ways. But our heart is to be his heart, a heart of compassion, a heart of concern. And we have that prayer in John chapter 17. I pray for those who will believe on their word. And so God has called us, as he called his disciples in these two verses, to be cognizant of the needs of those around us. Most of us are happy that we have salvation. We're pleased that we enjoy and appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. But so many times we miss the opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting. The first person that we can come is we can realize that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5, he says, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I can take you to some places around our world, people who have nothing. I can remember speaking to a group of people in a large assembly in Romania, and they were just getting out from underneath communism, and they asked me to share something of what we were doing. And most of them had a cow and a few ducks and a couple of pigs and some chickens and a fairly good-sized house, but they were feeling sad that they had been under communism for 70 years. And I share with them the needs of those around the world. And I can remember showing pictures of the pygmies in Central Africa. And I said, everything they own, they can carry on their head. I said, can you? And they said, no. And then I showed them pictures of Indian people sleeping on the median between two busy lanes of traffic going each way. And I said, everything that this person owns is in that box there. I said, can you say that? And we began to realize that the Lord has sent us to the poor. And missionaries generally over the course of my lifetime have gone primarily to the poor. The poor will have the gospel preached to them. And we think of those who have lost everything in Haiti. Some in other countries as a result of these two hurricanes. And they need the gospel. They are poor. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the poor, those who seemed to have nothing. We think of the leprous men that came to the Lord Jesus Christ and pleaded with him to heal them And they would have been outcasts in their society. And there was no opportunity for them to interact with the community because of their disease. And so the poor have the gospel preached. James tells us that those who are rich in faith, but they're poor. And so I suggest to us that there are this homeless, and we need to present the gospel. It's nice to present a meal to them and present some clothes to them. It's wonderful to get with an NGO and provide a means whereby the people in that have been ravaged by this hurricane can have something to eat and a place to sleep and warm clothes and so forth. But it is the gospel, and we need to preach to the poor. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. And he could see the hearts of mankind, and he knew that they were poor in spirit, and they needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We need to pray for the poor. The Lord Jesus said, we will always have the poor with us. No matter how much giving is done, no matter how much blessing is provided, no matter how much food and clothes and all of these aids, the poor we will always have, and we need to consider the poor when we share the gospel. And then secondly, in John chapter 5, there's an amazing picture that is drawn for us of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And it says to us in John chapter 5 that there were a great multitude at the pool of Bethesda. But you know and I know, as the story unfolds for us, there is the Lord Jesus Christ going by divine order, by divine commandment, and going to the pool of Bethesda. And we ask, as we read this story, how many were at the pool of Bethesda? And the only answer can be given to us is an answer given in the next chapter, in chapter 6. Because in chapter 6 we have the feeding of the 5,000. And we are told in the parallel passages that there were men besides women and children. And if you give every man a wife and give every couple a child, that's 15,000 who might have been at the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. And the exact same words are used in chapter 5, at the pool of Bethesda, with five large porches gathered around this pool. Do you remember the story where the Lord Jesus Christ went to a man in the pool of Bethesda? And they were there, they were the sick, and they were the maimed, and they were the lame, and the halt. And they were waiting for some mysterious movement of the water so that they could jump in. But this man couldn't be moved. And he said, I have no man. And the Lord Jesus said, will you be made whole? He was paralyzed. And we must understand, as we study the Word of God and see the world in which we live, it is a world that is paralyzed, not only physically, but spiritually. No man can come to the Father, no man can come to the Son except the Father draw them. And we are reminded the conviction of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so a person who has a desire to come to the Lord and for salvation is somebody that's already been touched by the Holy Spirit, convicted of the sin of unbelief, convicted of the righteousness which they don't have and they need and can only be found in Christ, and of the judgment that is hanging upon them if they do not believe. But it tells us a great multitude was in the pool of Bethesda with its five porches. And how many out of that 5,000 people did the Lord Jesus Christ heal? And you know the answer. Because there was only one. And we say, is that right? Is that just? How could the Lord Jesus Christ go to the pool of Bethesda, step around this one, beside that one, over that one, and move through this pool with 5,000 at least, a great multitude of sick and maimed and lame and halt? And he says to one of them, will you be made whole? And he said, I have no man. He was trusting in man. Do you think that's fair? That one out of 5,000? And maybe God has called you, called me on occasion to find that one person and pass by these and pass by those, stepping over and around until we come to the one of God's appointment and then present the gospel to them. It's sad, isn't it, to to read that chapter and realize that the Lord Jesus came, healed one, and then left the rest. Why is it that way? Because there are two sides to the coin. And the other side of the coin is taught to us in chapter 6. Because what happened in chapter 6? The Lord Jesus wanted to get away from the crowd, and he took his disciples and went out into a desert place. And the people followed him. And we're told a great multitude came in John chapter 6. And he taught them. And the Lord Jesus said to the disciples on that occasion, give them something to eat. And what did the disciples say? It was a test, because he himself knew what he was going to do. The test was, give them something to eat. I can remember speaking for the first time at a gospel chapel, and they had a piece of paper right here, and it says, give them something to eat. That was my responsibility. And the Lord Jesus has given the disciples that responsibility. Give them something to eat. But you know what has happened in our churches today? We have fed the first row and the second row maybe. And the rest of them are eating it. I have nothing to eat, but they're hungry. There are 95 translations of the New Testament in English. And there are over 2,000 languages who have never heard of Jesus Christ in their own language. We have been feeding the front row time after time after time. Every one of you have heard it again and again and again. And there are still people who have never heard. But what did the Lord Jesus do in John chapter 6? He fed them all as much as they would. So we have two sides to the picture, don't we? The individual who comes in search of the gospel, the one who needs Christ. He had been there for 38 years. Was he the one who was there the longest? We don't know. But the Lord Jesus, at the age of 31 or 2, hadn't been alive as long as that man had been sick for 38 years. And the Lord Jesus waited 30 years to go to the pool of Bethesda and give that man an escape and salvation, because God made him whole. He believed. And so in John chapter 5, 1 out of 5,000. In John chapter 5, 1 out of 5,000. In John chapter 6, he fed them all as much as they would. And there were 12 baskets left over. What does that mean? Whosoever will, you may come. In John chapter 6. But in John chapter 5, he sent to one here and one there. And we are sent. Sometimes God has called a few to speak to multitudes of people and say, come, you come. You can remember Billy Graham saying, come out, step out of your seat and come down. You will find somebody here. Come, God is asking you to come. And there were thousands that came. But there are many who do one at a time, sharing the gospel. It is our responsibility, because these people are paralyzed in John chapter 5. They can't come. They can't come to the waters. They can't come. And God sends us, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. The Father sent the Son to the poor. The Father sent the Son to the paralyzed. The Father sent the Son to prisoners. The Lord Jesus Christ again reminds us in Luke chapter 4 that he was sent to set at liberty those that are captive. God has given us the opportunity on so many occasions to preach the gospel to the prisoners. I can remember being in Botswana, and Jim Legg asked me if I would preach the gospel in a prison where the death sentence was over about 20 or 25 men. And he said, I want this man to translate for you. He knows Setswana better than I do. But he wasn't a believer. And so I preached the gospel. And this unbeliever preached the gospel in Setswana. Occasionally, Jim Legg had to straighten him out on his theology. But it was an amazing thing to be able to preach life, to preach spiritual liberty, to set at liberty those who are captive by sin and disobedience and rebellion. The prisoners are not always those people who are behind bars. They are people who are imprisoned by their sin, by their disobedience, by their rebellion, sometimes by their culture, sometimes by demons, sometimes by drugs and alcohol. They are imprisoned. And you and I need to see through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, those mercy-filled eyes. And he went to the prisoner, and he set at liberty those who were captive. We look at each other. We pass each other on the street. We sit next to them in the train or the bus or in the plane. Some of those are appointments that God has made for us to turn the conversation and say to them, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you prepared for a hurricane to come through your area and take your life? We have things that are happening in our society which give us the opportunity to turn those conversations to spiritual things, because they may be dressed nicely, they may be intelligent, they may be successful monetarily, but they're in prison. And we need to go to them, as my Father has sent me to those in prison, so send I you. We are sent to the poor. We're sent to those who are paralyzed. We're sent to those who are prisoners. We're sent to prostitutes. The Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. And there he goes in John chapter 4. And he comes to Samaria. And here comes a woman who not dare come at the evening or the morning when the other ladies come, because she's a lady of ill repute. And the Lord Jesus addresses her. Go call your husband, he finally says. She said, I have no husband. He said, you've not had but one, you've had five. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to a prostitute. What would we do if we went down to Myrtle Beach and walked the streets at night looking for women of the night? I can remember being in Bombay, and somebody was driving us around Bombay, and we'd just been told about the red light district. And for blocks and blocks and blocks, he drove me through this red light district, and 3- and 4-story buildings on this side and 3- and 4-story buildings on that side, and leering out of the windows and doors were those that had been sold into prostitution. Children as young, little girls young as 12 or 13. And O.M. had one little girl, hardly 5 feet tall. She had a passion with the mercy eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. She would go there and try to drag some of those women out of human trafficking. We were in Kenya on the ship in one of the ports there, and in came a group of prostitutes, and they came down to my room and said, you need to go and speak to these girls. I was in Abu Dhabi, and a dozen Russian women. At 11:30 at night, I had 2 hours with them to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to reach them? As my Father has sent me, so send I you. They are loved by the Lord. They need to be loved by us. As we look at them, we realize again that there have been gracious, merciful escapes from prostitution, from slavery to drugs and alcohol, from prisons of their own making. And the Lord Jesus says to his Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And then in John chapter 3, we have politicians. Who's going to reach the politicians? What a group of people. We are grateful to God for many who are in Washington today, who are having a Bible study on a regular basis in the White House, attended by some of the associates in responsibility of the present administration. And there are those who are chaplains and have been chaplains in the Congress and in the Senate. And I can think of a doctor who left this country to go down and give himself to provide medical care for people in Colombia, South America. He went to the government in search of a license so he could practice medicine in Colombia to the ill and the sick and the sad and so forth. And the government refused to give him a license. He wondered, Lord, why have you brought me here? He had training. He was a gifted medical person, doctor. And he went again and again to the government asking for a license so he could practice medicine. And they said, no, you can't do it. And he didn't, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so he began to try and reach out to politicians, to embassy people. He didn't have much, but he went around to all of his friends, and his wife did the same thing, and prepare a fancy meal and borrow silver trays and silver dishes and sterling silver and silver plate, so that when the table was spread with all of this lovely food, it was in beautiful, expensive plates. And they came, and they trusted Christ. And they had a number of people come to know Christ, politicians, embassy people who were away from home and away from their family. We need to reach them. We need to go as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And the Lord Jesus Christ was there and said to him, you must be born again. It was in the context of politicians. For those who are prosperous, it's not always easy to bring the gospel to people who are prosperous. But we think of Zacchaeus, a wealthy man, and many other. Some said yes, as Zacchaeus did, and some said no, as the rich young ruler. And the Lord loved him, and he went away sad. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And then in John chapter 18, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to the priests. We spent to the religious leaders, sent to those who are men of the cloth, men who know the scriptures but do not know Jesus Christ, men who have studied and learned the word of God in the seminary, but they've been duped into thinking that just knowing it was enough. As my Father has sent me, may I suggest to you, so send I you. If we are having the mercy eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to look through those eyes. So we give him our hands. And we say, these hands are your hands today. And we pray that God will bring somebody into our hearts, into our lives, that needs something we have. And we are willing to go to the poor, to the homeless. Not just provide a meal, but to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the paralyzed, to those who have no way of coming to us. Who will not come because the Lord says that they will not come because they're disobedient and rebellious and rejecting. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. And the same thing is true for us. We think of him as he wept over Jerusalem, over the poor and the paralyzed and the prisoners. How many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers his chicks, but you would not? And there are many whom we send, or we are sent to, who will never receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But when the Lord Jesus Christ said, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew full well that when he ascended up into glory, and when he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he would send you, he would send me to exactly the same people. In today's world, those same kind of people need Jesus Christ. The poor, you will always have with you. And it may be that God will have you begin a ministry to the poor, to those who are paralyzed. I can think of a lovely young lady who we met on the ship. And she goes every day to the hospital as a volunteer to read Bible stories to the children and to teach them the Word of God. She is sent to the paralyzed with all of their arms and legs in all kinds of plasters and various things. God has called us. Twice the Lord Jesus Christ says that. He says it first of all in his prayer. Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And then when he was about ready to ascend, he says in John chapter 17, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. It's good for us to enjoy worship, to spend our time meditating on the greatness of God and the glory of our Savior and the wonder of his salvation. The fellowship of the family is just enjoyable. God designed the church to minister to herself. But the weakness that we have so often in our assembly is seeing new people come to Jesus Christ, to bring them the gospel message, whether it's a prostitute, whether it's a prisoner, whether it's the poor, I don't know where they are. But we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God wants to bring somebody into your life. He will prepare the soil of the heart to receive the seed of the word by the difficulties and trials and problems. It starts with the young. The Lord Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And children's ministry is so important in camps, in Awana, and in those opportunities for ministry. As my Father has sent me, and our Lord Jesus Christ was obedient. He was dependent and he was obedient. And you and I have the same responsibility. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. The Lord Jesus Christ came in full obedience. He carried out his ministry. And to each of these segment of society, he was faithful to present the gospel. And you and I are responsible to be sent in the same way. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful you again this morning that you have given to us your word. It's living. It's powerful. We thank you that you've given it to us in order that we might give it to somebody else. And we believe that as we offer ourselves and offer our time and offer our money and offer our mouths to you, that you will bring somebody into our life this week who needs Jesus Christ. May we think of those people while we're standing in the grocery line. May we think of those people as we pass them in the street. May we even make a telephone call to somebody and say, look, let me share the gospel with you. May we be prepared to give them a gospel tract or a gospel of John. And we know that if you do this, you will bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you're waiting for those who have been sent to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and to present the word of God. Now, Father, we've been reminded this morning that you have given us eyes. We need eyes that are mercy-filled, like the Lord Jesus Christ. May our eyes have compassion. May our eyes have love. May our eyes manifest your grace, your kindness, your joy, and your peace, so that people will believe the gospel and be born again and be made whole. Thank you for ministering to us as you said you would do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.